If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You may know Jackson Pollock, the painter famous for his iconic drip paintings. But what do you know about his wife, artist Lee Krasner? On Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock, the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting, just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh man, what a show we have for you tonight. We have a bunch of clips on my interview with Tucker Carlson. Senator Tommy Tuberville is here, and I've never heard a senator as fired up as he is tonight, so buckle up for that. Harry Sheffield about inflation. My goodness, all that's coming up on I'm Right. All right, I am friends with Tucker Carlson. I should probably lead with that. You should know before we start playing clips of this whole thing that we are friends. We got to know each other a few years ago. We see eye to eye on many, many things. I respect him, and we've always been friends. And so he invited me to come on his new show and sit down and have a discussion. We discussed many, many things. We discussed the border. We discussed liberal white women. We discussed the failure of Republicans. All you need to know is I was extremely brilliant, extremely witty, and, you know, it was a whole lot of things like this.
It's not an accident, as you well know. You talk about this all the time. It's not an accident what's happening on the border. The people who lead the nation from the federal level, that's Democrat politicians, half the Republican politicians, every bureaucrat, they are encouraging flooding the border with illegals. They're encouraging it. That's just what they want. They want America full of illegals, no loyalty to America, criminals, rapists, murderers. That is what they want, because when you cause violence and chaos in a society, that's the fertile soil where communism grows. People will always turn to the government and beg them for help when that kind of societal collapse comes. So they know this. So they're inviting it. Well, other countries around the world are obliging, as countries always have in this situation. Hey, there's a country I don't particularly like. They have an open border. We do have this prison full of rapists. Hey, guys, why don't you just move on to America? We know this is happening in countries like Venezuela, where they're emptying prisons onto the border. We don't have criminals coming here individually. We have entire criminal networks coming here. The country is being undone now, and it cannot be reversed, what's happening right now. I want everyone to understand this. Let's say everyone gets their wish and Donald Trump beats Joe Biden in November and woo-hoo-hoo. You cannot possibly, it's not humanly possible to deport this many people. If Joe Biden's gonna bring in 10, 12 million people, almost all of them will be here permanently and all of their children will be American citizens. And there's not going to be some mass deportation, no matter what people say on the campaign trail. The American people have no stomach for that whatsoever. Even if they think they do right now, it would be one video of a little boy crying as mommy gets thrown in the back of a paddy wagon to be deported, and all deportations would stop. Republicans would grab their ankles for the media like they always do, and everything, well, we need to do this more humanely. So that's the situation we're in. We cannot stand by and watch the United States of America be destroyed. And people have to understand how dire this situation is. This is the stated policy now of the Democrat Party. So even if Joe Biden gets bounced in 2024, woohoo, we get some deportations in, the next time there's any Democrat president, it'll again be open season and the entire world will know. Criminals, drugs, rapists, everything flooding into the country to destroy it. The time is now to create a coalition in a totally separate immigration force. That's what we have to do.
Obviously, clips are making the rounds for a bunch of different reasons. I realize that's quite a thing to say. You've heard me say this on the show. It has to be done. We can't hope. Hope is not a plan. We have to save our way of life. These things need to be done, and they need to be done now. And so in response to that, a lot of people will say, understandably, well, Jesse, let's get some guns, and we'll go down to the border. It's not going to work. That is not how we're going to save this place. We will need some level of state power to save. Here it was.
And let's just be honest. I mean, obviously, I'm fervently rooting for Trump over Biden for many, many reasons. But Trump was president for 4 years, and he didn't even build a defensive border wall. Didn't. And I don't care. We can lie about that, but that's just a fact. So the idea that he's going to deport 10 million people is just don't lie to me. I'm sick of it. So I agree with you completely.
Look, I mean, not to interrupt, but along those same lines, Tucker, sorry, but people have to do also remember child separation policy?
That's
a basic border policy because people grab kids who aren't theirs and act like, hey, I'm Dad Pedro, and when really he's not, he's some kind of cartel member. And so you always separate the kid and figure out, is he there with mom or dad? That's a basic border policy. Look, again, insult or don't insult, I don't give a crap if people are offended by it. The Trump administration ended that policy because of media and Democrat pressure. Democrats did a bunch of photo ops down on the border. AOC's crying at the fence. Eventually, child separation was ended. That's because of media pressure. And people in this country honestly believe there's going to be some mass deportation of 8 million people where you're rounding up entire families and shipping them back to Zimbabwe. You're outside of your mind. It'll never happen. The people have no stomach for it, and neither does the Republican Party.
Why is it that Republican states tend to have the least sincere Republican? Like Dan Crenshaw, apparently still a member of Congress from the state of Texas, who has zero interest in the U.S. border. All his interest is in the Ukrainian border, the Gaza border. You know, how does a guy like that get elected in a supposedly Republican state?
Well, complacency and life being good makes us soft, right? It's just the fact of life. It's one of those things humanity struggled with. As soon as you get rich or well off or comfortable, how do you keep improving? How do you keep your edge? You rarely do. This is what's happened to red state Republicans. There's nobody more at fault for the condition of this country than red state GOP voters. And people get mad when I say that. But let me just go down the list here. Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, John Thune, Tillis. I mean, look, you can go down the list. Every dork from Louisiana. The reddest states in this country give us the most putrid Republicans at the federal level. Why does that happen? Because the GOP primary voter in red states lives in a relatively normal place. He lives in comfort. He thinks he's got a red legislature. So he either doesn't vote in primaries. That's mostly the case. He's just going to sit at home. Or even worse, he goes to vote for Senator Dork, who he sees on Fox News every time. Well, Lindsey Graham was on Fox tonight. I guess he's on my side. You should have nothing but disdain for virtually every single senator you see on Fox News. And yet people vote for who they see on television. Well, I met John Thune once and he was so handsome. He's very clearly on our side. John Thune supported gun control legislation, and John Thune on camera was asked to back up American people owning AR-15s. And the best argument he could make for your liberty, for the Second Amendment, was that, I kid you not, this is on camera, he told people, well, I mean, a lot of people use them to shoot prairie dogs. These are the weapons-grade losers who control the GOP, and they're from the reddest states. Susan Collins is understandable, Tucker. Sorry to get all fired up. It's understandable. She's from Maine. It's from a blue state. Of course, we're going to get some wishy-washy, mealy-mouthed dork from that kind of state. From the Dakotas? The Dakotas are so red, it's crazy. They could have somebody to the right of me. if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, I saw him on Fox last night. Oh, just gag me with a fork.
And so we need state power. We need help. We need help from the red states. They are the only thing that can form a coherent immigration policy. All right, that's our side. Let's set that aside because I do want to show you this. The liberal white woman. I brought this up before. Whenever you look at these dirty commies, Joe Biden, any of them, when they give speeches and you're sitting there screaming at the television and pulling your hair out, and it seems like they're speaking to a different species. It's because they are. They're speaking to the true power of the Democrat Party, the real destroyers of Western civilization, these single liberal white women. And here was Tucker and I discussing them specifically.
I had the wildest conversation, I forgot to tell you about this, with this lady. I won't go into details. We were in this big group setting, and there were Republicans there, Democrats there. It was vacation. We ended up at this big table, like 10 people at this table, having a couple cocktails after dinner, just talking about life. And there were these two liberal white women from Chicago. And they loved their mayor, Brandon Johnson, loved them. They actually referenced him as BJ, was his name, right? BJ, I'm not kidding you not, they kept calling him BJ. I mean, like he's Kamala Harris or something like that. BJ this and BJ that. But I kept my mouth shut, Tucker, believe it or not. I know no one's going to believe that. I just sat there and listened, just watched and just listened as these people were talking. Well, there was this oil field guy from Texas. You love this guy. He's total cowboy, red America, the great, all this. And he wasn't holding back. And he finally challenges this woman about the crime in Chicago. And he says to her, you talk about BJ this and Chicago's great that. Look at these murder numbers and it's a disaster. And you got people taking over Union Square. It's crazy. How can you defend it? And Tucker, on my life, cross my heart and hope to die, this lady looked him right in the eye and she said, well, yeah, if you come to Chicago, you might get robbed, but you're not going to be targeted. That was her explanation. Well, yeah, you might get robbed here, but they're not going to target you for assassination. Why are you complaining? Chicago's wonderful. In her mind, that was a good explanation. People do not understand how sick the mind of the liberal white woman is, and they don't understand that that is the true beating heart of the Democrat Party today. I'm not even actually trying to be mean about this. It's why they talk to them. Do people know that married women vote Republican? Yes. Married men vote Republican, married men vote Republican, single men vote Republican, but it's something like 77% of single women vote Democrat, and the majority, over 58% of those women have been diagnosed with mental illness. Single, miserable women who are clinically insane are the beating heart of the Democrat Party. And that's why these people do the things they do. And that's why they do what they do when it comes to illegal immigration. Because single white women view illegal immigration like rescuing dogs who've been abused. Oh, sure, everybody just come into my country. Please rape anyone you want. Of course, that's the right thing to do. No love of country, just sitting there popping her anti-anxiety medication as she destroys Western civilization. That's the truth.
I don't think you get the credit for being as deep and insightful as you are.
I am deep and insightful, aren't I? All right. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Thanks once again to Tucker for having me. Now, we have a lot to get to. We have a United States senator who watched that, and he's a little fired up about that whole thing. Tommy Tuberville joins us next. Before we get to Tommy Tuberville, let's get to you. Maybe you're right now, maybe you're thinking, I'm just deflated. Dang, I'm so deflated. Well, that's because you haven't had your afternoon cup of coffee yet. That's because you haven't had a cup of blackout coffee yet. Have you? Please tell me you've ordered your first order of blackout coffee. Listen, I love coffee. If I had my way, if my blood pressure could handle it, I bet you I would drink 10 cups of blackout coffee a day. That's how incredible this is. And you can have whatever you want. I get the whole bean. I get the whole bean, they send me the whole bean, they ship it fast, I get it. I like to do the grind up thing at the house, and my wife now makes fun of me because I love my blackout coffee so much. Do you wanna try some of my favorite coffee? Go get some. How about 20% off your first order? They're begging you to come get some blackout coffee, baby. And I found out yesterday, they have mugs and they're sending me one. So I'll show you that soon. Blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse is how you get 20% off. Don't pay full price like some sucker. Blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse. We'll be back with the coach.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On a summer night in Paris, American artist Lee Krasner is drifting off to sleep when the phone rings. On the line, news that her husband, Jackson, is dead. Jackson, as in the painter Jackson Pollock. He might, to this day, be the most mythologized figure in American art. But how much of the story that we've been told about him is just that? A myth. On Death of an Artist, Season 2, Krasner and Pollock, the story about how the art world changed forever. And the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting. Just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. I've been a journalist for 2 decades, writing cover stories for Business Week, Fortune, and Wired. And now, every Monday, I bring you conversations with people who are thinking deeply about work and where it fits into our lives. Like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on growth mindsets.
The learn-it-all does better than the know-it-all.
Or MacArthur Genius winner Angela Duckworth on talent versus grit.
Your long-term effort and your long-term commitment are surprisingly important.
Each episode delivers pragmatic advice for right now. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Republicans do nothing. Republicans have been in charge for I don't know how long of managing the decline. I mean, look, it's not exactly a new insult to call the Republican Party controlled opposition, but let's be frank, that's exactly what they are. Even Joseph Stalin allowed an opposition party. A lot of people don't realize this. He allowed, encouraged, and in fact funded an opposition party to give the people of the Soviet Union an illusion of choice. Oh, no, these guys are against me. Wow, it's pretty scary, but somehow they never end up accomplishing any of their anti-Stalin goals. We're constantly told the Republican Party is going to fight for us and protect the border and we'll cut your taxes and we'll be pro-life and we'll protect the family. Yet none of these things ever seem to materialize. They all talk about it during election season. I'll build the wall. And then you get there and you get 25 feet of wall and a bunch of excuses. Greg Abbott, that's his excuse. He's a Republican. That's what they all are. That's why I'm an anti-communist.
Apparently that clip fired up the senator. One of the good ones. We don't have very many good ones, sadly. But we do have one out of Alabama, football coach. Everyone knows him as coach, not senator. I think that's the coolest thing in the world. Senator Tommy Tuberville. Coach, I don't know why that clip got you all fired up. What did I do? Are you mad at me?
Well, unfortunately, you told a lot of truth, Jesse. There's a lot of truth in the entire. I watched the entire clip, and, you know, we're in bad trouble. And I tell people that when I go out and speak in Alabama, you know, people ask me, Coach, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Where are we at? And I pretty much tell them, hey, you know, our country's in bad trouble. We've probably already lost our country as we grew up in it. Now, the only chance we can get it back is to get people up here that's going to listen to their constituents. And as you just said, a lot of people come up here, Jesse, and the Democrats, for instance, they're in a group mode. They vote as a group. They figure something out, and that's the way they go, and they're going to stick with it, hell or high water. Republicans, we're kind of individual contractors. I represent Alabama. I don't represent me. I come up here and I vote for the state of Alabama because we're pro-life, we're pro-military. We're against big government. We're for God. All those things go along, and anything with that, I'm going to vote that way. I'm not going to hem-haw around and let some other Republican come to me and say, Coach, we need you to vote this way or that way, or any lobbyist. And, my dad was a military. He died on active duty. I believe in this country, but I'll tell you, we are not a team in the Republican side. Now, we try to be, but there's too many individual contractors. And again, I vote different than a lot of them sometimes, and they probably think the same thing about me. But again, the thing about it is they don't do that on the Democratic side. They stick together, and they're going to vote for their persuasion, not their state. They're going to vote how Chuck Schumer wants them to vote, and that's how we've ended up in this mess.
Coach, why is it that way on the right to such an extent? And this is what I mean. I don't expect or even want you to be identical to Mike Lee or Ted Cruz or something like that. I like that we have individuals up there who are different and have different perspective on things. But some of these guys who are up there, and I'm happy to name names, as you know, but I don't need to, some of these guys actually seem to hate me as a GOP primary voter, as part of the GOP base, the things I care about. They talk down to us now quite openly all the time that we're stupid and we're idiots and we don't understand. It feels like they hate us.
Well, I think a lot of times, and again, I'm not going to put words in other senators' mouths, but the thing about it is you're around so much up here that sometimes you get into a situation where you think you know better than everybody else, other than say, it doesn't make any difference how I think here as Coach Tommy Tuberville. I vote for the people of Alabama. I'm not going to vote to spend money up here that we don't have. I'm just not going to do it. And they don't want me to do that. And again, I'll fight back against, the abortion policies that the Biden administration has thrown at us, the military and the VA. I'll fight back against anything that I think the Alabama people in Alabama want me to fight back against. And I don't care. I'm not running to get reelected. Okay. I could care less about staying up here, 15, 20, 30 years. I've had my career. I'm up here to help Alabama and help the citizens of this country. And I'm going to vote that way.
Is that why you're more impervious to it, and maybe why some of the others are not? And I really genuinely mean that. Everyone knew who Tommy Tuberville was long before you became a United States Senator. You've had this incredible life and this great career and everything. You don't need to be a freaking senator. You can walk away tomorrow and be just fine. You're still going to be Coach Tommy Tuberville. So the others who don't necessarily have that life experience, and not many do, is that what hurts them? All they have is, I'm senator this, I'm congressman that, and if they lose that, they're nothing? Is that what happens to our guys up there?
Well, I think it happens to groups on both sides, not just our side. I think people come up here and they see this as something that they can use as what you said, as a symbol of a power of, I made it to this point, there's only 100 U.S. senators. I don't look at it that way. I think you got to come in with that mindset. Again, I didn't invent a wheel here. I just come up here and I've seen what's going on. And I have not voted for one dime to go to Ukraine. I do not believe. And again, there's nobody has got any more information than me because I'm on armed services. I've been in all the classified hearings. I've asked questions to all the generals. People have been there. I've had people here, hostages from Ukraine and people that's been fighting there. I've talked to all of them. And I see where Mike Johnson's changed his mindset. Oh, I've seen things now that changed my mind. We need to give money to Ukraine. Yes, they can't win. I don't know how to put it any more plain. They cannot win over Russia. We need to go over there and get this madness over with and save the lives of people from Ukraine and Russia and draw a line, a new boundary. They keep saying that Vladimir Putin's going to run through Europe. He doesn't want Europe. What the hell would he want that for? I mean, they have no minerals. They have no gas or oil. They don't have anything. And sure, he could probably go through there because they have boutique armies now. They don't spend any money on defense. But at the end of the day, this guy does not want people on his borders, you know, with weapons like us in Ukraine. They want, NATO wants Ukraine to be on their team. I don't believe they need to be on their team. We wouldn't want China and Mexico. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. They can't win.
Well, speaking of borders, this Mayorkas situation, it's not surprising to anyone who understands how these dirty communists operate. I knew Chuck Schumer wasn't going to have a trial. That's something Republicans would do to themselves. Democrats would never do such a thing. So we're just stuck with an open border now, aren't we, Senator? I know you don't want that. I know that's not what I want, but that's really what we're stuck with now, right?
Most devastating thing that's happened, Jesse, in your in my lifetime. And it's over. What you said, they're here. They're not going home. We might be able to send a few of them home, but they've let their prisons out down in Venezuela. They've done everything they possibly can do to ruin our country. I just don't understand. I've asked some of my Democratic colleagues, what is it that you don't understand about our country is getting overrun by people that don't know anything about our country? They can't help our country whatsoever, and it's going to cost us a fortune, and it's going to cause crime to go out the roof. What is it you don't understand? We need to help other people. Wait a minute. We're all for immigration. We can bring 1 million people in a year. We can bring in people that speak our language, are educated, that can help us become a better country. But that's not what they want. They want voters. At the end of the day, that's what this is all about. You know that. But I'll tell you, it is going to be devastating to this next few generations coming up. And heaven help us if we don't get something done at the border. That's the reason I'm really disgusted with the Republican Party. We have had an opportunity to say, listen, we're going to take our football and go home. And we're not going to pass anything for the rest of this term. I don't care who it's for, whether it's a new budget. We're going to go home until you close that damn border, because it is killing the American people. And but we won't do it. I mean, we've had every opportunity to say, listen, you know, game, set, match. Y'all can play politics all you want. If you don't close the border, we're done. But nobody would do that up here.
So frustrating. Senator, I wanted to make sure I ask you before I let you go about the DOD, the vaccine mandate. It's just madness to me that our troops are still going through all this crap. What did you learn about all this?
Well, being on Armed Services Committee, I've had all the stats, and we're starting to get them more and more in. Today, we had the Secretary of the Army here and the Chief Staff of the Army, and I had already had the stats, and I kind of read them out to them. They ran out 1,800 people in the Army, just soldiers, and then we lost 200 great mechanics on airplanes and all the big equipment that we have. We run them off, 200, and we can't replace them. There's nobody to replace them with, and that's just the Army. That's not the Air Force and Marines, because we're talking about recruiting, and that's what I've done all my life is recruit. We have nothing to sell these young men and women coming out of high school and college about a great and strong military. All we have to sell them is, hey, you join our military and you can be part of a great diversity, equity, and inclusion program. And, you know, we'll go happily down the road. I mean, we need a killing machine. We are on the verge of three wars. Somebody needs to wake up and smell the roses. I've talked to active duty military all over the world since I've been in this job. I've talked to all over the country at our military bases. I've talked to military personnel that have recently got out. And a lot of people, Jesse, are getting out because they can't put up with all this madness that they're being taught in the military. They can't handle it. One Marine told me, he said, Coach, I fought in two wars. I love this country. I've got two boys that are getting close to military age. Not one of them will ever fight in this military. I will move to another country if we start a war, because we can't win with the leadership that we have in the military that we have now. We have gone the other direction, and I think it's all but designed. And so it's look at Joe Biden right now, show a weakness in the Middle East, show a weakness everywhere all over the world. And what better than just say, hey, listen, we're just going to destroy our military and we won't be able to fight no matter whether people want us to fight or not. I mean, it's madness all over this administration and the things that we're doing in terms of protecting the American people and the best country that's ever been on the face of this earth.
It is heartbreaking, Coach. That's my sons. Look, my sons are 13 and 15. They've put on dad's Marine uniform before. It's sitting in my closet. And I've told them, no. The answer is no, not under this kind of leadership. And that freaking breaks my heart. Coach, hopefully I break bread with you one of these days. We got to go get a steak one of these nights. I appreciate you very much. All right. There's a lot going on overseas, speaking of what Coach was just talking about. And we're going to dig into some of those things in a moment. Before we get to those things, let's dig into this. He said something, he said a lot of things that are very profound there, but one of those things is it's intentional. You and I know this by now. It's intentional. What they're doing is intentional. Your money. You know, we look around, we can't afford what we used to be able to afford. Everyone's watching their standard of living go down. You can't afford the groceries, the vacations, the eating out, the new clothes, the whatever it may be. You can't afford it. It's intentional. They are attacking our money. They have been doing this for a long time. Why else would you print trillions in unbacked currency? Get a hold of Oxford Gold Group, because precious metals, hard assets, things you can touch and feel, those are the things you'll be able to rely on once your government declares war on your money, all right? That's what Oxford Gold Group is. It's our parachute for all this stuff. You don't have to go crazy. Don't go nuts. They'll put gold, silver coins in your physical possession. They'll get it in your retirement. Call 833-995-GOLD, all right? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On a summer night in Paris, American artist Lee Krasner is drifting off to sleep when the phone rings. On the line, news that her husband, Jackson, is dead. Jackson, as in the painter Jackson Pollock. He might, to this day, be the most mythologized figure in American art. But how much of the story that we've been told about him is just that? A myth. On Death of an Artist, Season 2, Krasner and Pollock, the story about how the art world changed forever. And the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting. Just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. I've been a journalist for 2 decades, writing cover stories for Business Week, Fortune, and Wired. And now, every Monday, I bring you conversations with people who are thinking deeply about work and where it fits into our lives. Like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on growth mindsets.
The learn-it-all does better than the know-it-all.
Or MacArthur Genius winner Angela Duckworth on talent versus grit.
Your long-term effort and your long-term commitment are surprisingly important.
Each episode delivers pragmatic advice for right now. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently when Israel was attacked.
Don't move on Haifa. I actually, you know, I agree with Joe Biden there. I think strategically for the Israelis, I think it would be a mistake to invade a city that's already in Israel. But maybe I'm wrong. Mike Baker was in the CIA. I certainly wasn't. Joining me now, Mike Baker, former CIA operations officer and host of the amazing President's Daily Brief. Mike, look, I was just a corporal in the Marines. I don't pretend to be some all-knowing guy. You were CIA. Is it smart to invade Haifa, or is that a mistake?
I don't know. You know, I was talking to some folks. I was just in D.C. And we were talking about potential target packages that the IDF might pull together for this response to Saturday night's attack. And none of them included Haifa. So it might be a whole new thought process. I don't know. Again, you know, you can't try to make sense of what President Biden is saying currently. Is very, very difficult, right? I mean, because all he's doing is pandering to his base out of fear of losing that vote over the support of Israel. So he says one thing, we support a two-state solution, and then you find out from leaked cable traffic coming out of State Department that the White House does not want the two-state solution, and now they're going to veto it in the UN when it comes through tomorrow.
Oh, great. All right, Mike, let's move on.
I have no idea where he is.
Yeah, who would ever know? All right, let's deal with this. One thing I find frustrating is it's hard to get details on the ground, details from the ground, strategic details of how any of the conflicts going on in the world are. You'd think with the overabundance of information we would know, but I've genuinely just been curious, not rooting, but Ukraine, Russia, what's happening there? What are the tactics? Israel, Hamas, Iran. In fact, let's begin there. What's going on there? Israel's they're invading Palestine. Is that going okay? Iran's launching all these drones. Hezbollah's attacking from the north. What's the tactical situation on the ground, setting all the emotions aside?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Okay, first of all, they've secured Tel Aviv, so that's good. You know what? I think what's happening right now is kidding aside, is that they've made a decision that they're going to hold off on this retaliatory strike against Iran until after Passover, which, you know, will wrap up on the 30th of April. So that's the first thing, because that's had everybody on edge. What's going to happen there? What's their target package going to look like? Now, I suspect, look, Iran gave them an off-ramp because Iran clearly doesn't want strikes inside their territory against nuclear facilities, against their energy infrastructure, refineries. They know that the potential for chaos internally and the potential for the mullahs to lose power is real if this thing kicks into a real direct conflict between Iran and Israel. And they know the U.S. at that point will have to come in. So I think, you know, the Iranians did their attack on Saturday night mostly to play to the home crowd. You know, mostly to say, look at us. You know, they may have taken out General Zahedi and others, but we had a strong, strong response. Well, they telegraphed that response by advising the Saudis and others that their missiles and drones would be passing through their airspace, knowing that the Saudis would then inform the U.S. So in a sense, it was an indirect telegraphing of what was about to happen, because, again, they don't want this to spiral out of control. So Israel, I think, at this situation now, because of their ongoing conflict and their concern over operations in Rafah, their concern over Hezbollah up north, they're going to probably look to do a target package that is not inside Iranian territory. I could be completely wrong about this, but I suspect that may be the case. Possibly an attack on weapons facilities and other inanimate objects in Syria, going after some proxy activity. I don't know that they're going to go after this in a big way, because, you know, despite the fact that the only thing that will get us to long-lasting peace in the Middle East is the collapse of the Iranian regime, I think all sides are concerned over what that could look like if it really does kick off.
Yeah, regime change always sounds good until you find out how it actually shakes out in the end. Okay, well, Mike, let me ask you this then. If Iran telegraphed it, Israel and a bunch of people, us included, swatted all these things down, is it a mistake tactically? I understand you have to respond as a state. Is it a mistake to respond at all anytime soon, Passover or no Passover? Maybe you wait a year and you drill them with something. When you're still busy with the South and the North, why are you opening up a new front? Why not just wait?
Yeah, I think there's a general sense of, look, there is some division there in the war cabinet, but I think there's a general overall sense at the 30,000 foot level that you can't allow that to happen without a response. You can't normalize that significant of an airstrike. Even though they telegraphed it, it was still, you know, 185 drones and, you know, upwards of 100 plus ballistic and cruise missiles. You can't normalize that. And so, but again, I think they're going to be trying to thread the needle in terms of a response, but not one that then spirals out of control. And the next thing you know, we've got a major conflagration.
Yeah, no, that's not good. All right, Mike, real quick, Russia, Ukraine. Again, you can't ever find out what the heck is actually happening out there. You get a propaganda headline from them and a propaganda headline from them. The situation on the ground, what is it?
We've been looking at this in the president's daily brief, and you're absolutely right. It's a very murky situation when you try to just understand something as straightforward as casualties, right? So latest assessments are that Russian military has had up to 50,000 plus, and probably more, because again, these are conservative estimates, 50,000 deaths, Russian soldiers dying in this Putin's invasion. On the Ukrainian side, equally murky, hard to understand. It's understandable. Both sides, they're not keen to be transparent about their casualties, but the Ukrainians possibly 30,000 or so. This is a real problem right now. Look, it has definitely shifted in Putin's favor, right? And the Ukrainian military is definitely facing significant shortages of just about everything, not just munitions, but all the hardware you need to keep a war effort moving, you know, and not even advancing, just trying to hold off the Russian advance. The Russian military is now conscripting another 300,000 or so personnel for a very expected summer offensive. They have controlled a significant amount of territory in the Donbass region. They are making some gains. This is, again, I don't want to sound overly cynical, because you have to praise the Ukrainian military and the courage of the people there, but you have to also look at this in a realistic manner. If they don't get resupplied, if the U.S. Congress is so dysfunctional that they can't figure out the gravity of the situation and approve some further aid to Ukraine, Putin's going to win. Right? Ukrainians can't hold out. And even Zelensky, who's always been looking at this through rose-colored glasses in terms of how his military is doing, he's now turned the corner and said, we'll probably lose if we don't get further aid. If people are okay with that in Congress, then they should stand up and say, we're okay with Putin winning. They should at least express the understanding that they know what's going to happen by them unassing the sofa and voting against Ukrainian aid.
Yeah. Mike, thank you, my brother. As always, I appreciate it very much. All right. Sure, on top of everything else, we have inflation news, interest rates news. We'll talk to Kerry Sheffield about that next. Before we talk to Kerry Sheffield, let's talk to you about the timeshare you're stuck in. But you don't have to be. You do not have to be stuck in that timeshare. This is the lie that timeshare companies tell everybody these days. Everybody. They get you signed up. Fluffy brochure, you know, look at the palm trees. And hopefully you have enjoyed your timeshare. I really hope you do. But eventually people get tired of it. Kids move away, whatever. timeshare company tells you, oh, sorry, you want out? We don't do that here. Pay your annual fees. Pay your special assessments. This is a lie. Because Lone Star Transfer exists. You would be stuck if it wasn't for Lone Star Transfer. But this family business, 99% of the time, they get people legally and permanently out of their timeshares. 99% of the time, they put it in writing. You're not stuck. You're one phone call away from freedom. You want to be free of that timeshare? Call 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. I've been a journalist for 2 decades, writing cover stories for Business Week, Fortune, and Wired. And now, every Monday, I bring you conversations with people who are thinking deeply about work and where it fits into our lives. Like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on growth mindsets.
The learn-it-all does better than the know-it-all.
Or MacArthur Genius winner Angela Duckworth on talent versus grit.
Your long-term effort and your long-term commitment are surprisingly important.
Each episode delivers pragmatic advice for right now. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On a summer night in Paris, American artist Lee Krasner is drifting off to sleep when the phone rings. On the line, news that her husband, Jackson, is dead. Jackson, as in the painter Jackson Pollock. He might, to this day, be the most mythologized figure in American art. But how much of the story that we've been told about him is just that? A myth. On Death of an Artist, Season 2, Krasner and Pollock, the story about how the art world changed forever. And the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting. Just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've said at the FOMC that we'll need greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2% before it would be appropriate to ease policy. You know, we took that cautious approach and sought that greater confidence so as not to overreact to the string of low inflation readings that we had in the second half of last year. The recent data have clearly not given us greater confidence and instead indicate that it's likely to take longer than expected to achieve that confidence. That said, we think policy is well positioned to handle the risks that we face. If higher inflation does persist, we can maintain the current level of restriction for as long as needed.
Well, I don't know what all that means. I went to community college. That doesn't sound very good at all. I hope Carrie can explain it to us. I'm sure she can. Joining me now, Carrie Sheffield, senior policy analyst with the Independent Women's Forum, also an author of an outstanding book, Motorhome Prophecies. I love the name. All right, Carrie, that all sounded bad, but I'm uneducated. Is it good? What was he just saying there?
Well, look, I don't think he knows what he's saying. And so you're totally fine, because he has been asleep at the wheel his entire term, unfortunately. I think he's one of the worst Federal Reserve chairs that we've ever had. I would describe him as reactionary, stumbling, and he used the word confidence a couple times. And I wanted to cringe each time I heard him say that word confidence, because I'm like, I have no confidence in what you're doing. Because they, and the other thing is that the way they've been, you know, spiking the interest rates, they are the reason why the American dream is falling out of reach for a lot of people of home ownership. And he says over and over, I need to stick to my knitting. I need to stick to my knitting. I only do monetary policy. I don't do fiscal policy. Well, the problem is there's an echo chamber loop between fiscal and monetary policy. Fiscal policy is what the Congress and the White House does. That's all the budget stuff. And we know that the inflationary impact of all of the stimulus that was passed by the Biden White House, and unfortunately, the Republicans, this is part of why you see the Republicans in revolt, because they want to stop the spending. The spending is driving the interest rates not slowing down the way that they've been hoping. And now they're starting to creep back up again. So he's keeps saying, oh, we're going to be cautious. It's not dropping, the inflation's not dropping as much as we wanted to. So therefore we have to delay cutting the interest rates because we need to slow the economy. We need to keep slowing the economy. Well, that's going to cause more job loss, and it's going to cause less housing being able to be purchased.
Carrie, can you explain, what do you think? I know we're guessing on a lot of things here. What are we thinking for the rest of the year? Obviously, they were telling us we were going to get a rate cut. At least they were kind of hinting at it, flirting with that rate cut a little bit. And now we're hearing maybe 4.8% year over year. So you ain't getting a rate cut at 4.8%. Are we going to have rates go up soon?
I mean, the fact that inflation has been creeping up, it's not out of the realm of possibility. The other thing that I want to point out is median CPI, which is, I've just looked it up, it's 4.55%, which is much higher than the CPI, the core CPI of 3.48%. So median CPI is the more realistic, and that's almost heading toward 5%. That's terrible. The median CPI is actually what people put into the average. It's the median, what you're actually shopping for versus throwing out the extremes, which is like the CPI. So the fact that that's still much higher than the CPI to me is a leading indicator that the inflation is not going anywhere. So it's very much in the realm of possibility that we could still see another rise in interest rates, potentially, at the very least a plateauing of the cuts that they've been doing, which I think makes a lot of people who are homeowners upset, because they see their home values plummeting. It makes it harder for them to be able to sell their homes too. So I hope, and I don't like infighting within the conservative movement, but I understand why people are so angry on the right to try to tell Speaker Johnson, we have to cut in the spending. We have to.
Yeah, no, we don't have any options here. Okay, you wrote a piece about Joe Biden attacking banks. What's he doing? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so it's part of an ongoing pattern that I've written about, not only for this current one, but also it's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, which is so Orwellianly named, and I believe also an unconstitutional agency that is just completely lacking in accountability in its funding structure. But in any case, this was a study that was looking at so-called overdraft fees, and what happens if the Biden administration wants to severely tamp down on overdraft fees, which might sound great. However, when you actually look at the study itself, it showed that the consumers, if you don't have the overdraft fees, there's no signal for them to change their behavior. And they actually end up nosediving into other products that are way worse for them. They go into the black market as opposed to going to work with a bank or financial institution. There's also not as much of just a signal for them to change their behavior. It's almost like a wake-up call. That's what is signaled when you have these overdraft fees. I don't like overdraft fees, but I've had to pay them sometimes. But at the end of the day, it's actually valuable to have a red light flashing to you to change your behavior. So that's what was interesting about the study, is that people saw the value in overdraft fees, and they said that the ability to get the money they needed by paying that extra, almost in some ways like a tax or just an extra fee, it was valuable enough for them to be able to do very basic things like pay for their grocery bills or put gas in their car or pay for their utilities. And so what the study found is that the most basic staples could be threatened if the Biden administration is able to do this.
Carrie, I want to talk about your book for a second, because the name, the title, honestly, it got me. I love it. Motorhome Prophecies. What are you talking about? What is this thing about?
Yeah, thanks for letting me chat about it. It just came out last month, a few weeks ago. And the title, I've got a copy here as well, and you can get it wherever you get your books. I called it Motorhome Prophecies because I grew up largely in a motorhome, or large parts of my childhood were in many ways, a third world existence. So we would careen between first world to third world. Sometimes we had houses. We also had sheds and tents. My brother was born when their family was living in a tent. I took my ACT exam for college when our family was living in the Ozarks in a shed with no running water. And I have 7 biological siblings with my parents. It was 10 people. Not a very sanitary or comfortable living situation. And we did this because my father claimed that he was a Mormon prophet. I'm careful to distinguish his behavior, which was not sanctioned by the official Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the official LDS Church. He was actually excommunicated from that. He basically created his own offshoot cult. And it was very physically, emotionally, and for me, sexually abusive. And I just fell into this depression. And I wrote the book right now at this time because we have the highest suicide rate since 1941, since the Great Depression. And I call it the new Great Depression, because even though on a GDP per capita basis, we're much wealthier than we were back then, we didn't have the stock market crash at that level as we did back then. I believe what we have is a moral and a spiritual crisis. And I spent about 12 years of my life really angry and bitter at God because I'd been abused in the name of God. My dad actually put a curse on me in the name of Jesus. He said I would be raped and murdered if I left his cult. And then when I eventually did leave, he said I was no longer his daughter and that my blood changed and I was not allowed home to visit during Christmas or summer breaks. And I had to make that choice, you know, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I chose freedom, but I did suffer a lot of mental health problems. And I've had 3 siblings who have attempted suicide. I have 2 schizophrenic brothers. And there's just been a lot of mental instability. And I'm writing about it now because I think that what's happening, again, like I said, in our country, where people are killed, we had almost 50,000 people kill themselves, which is almost 17 times the number of people who died in 9/11. God gave me, for whatever reason, a 20-year lead on how to deal with a lot of these issues and how to deal with getting spirituality and a healthy, balanced faith in God to heal mental illness. There's all kinds of evidence that I put in the book that proves that when you go to church, when you're in a healthy, rooted spiritual community, your mental health improves. There's so much data for this, that your depression levels go down, that but finding that healthy balance. So I went from one extreme of being in a cult, mind control, religion cult, to hating God and having no religion and no God. And now that I've found that sweet spot, that's what I'm here to teach, in particular to Gen Z, because they've swung into that camp of hating God and not having any faith in their lives. And that's why they've also had, I believe, record suicides and record depression.
The book is The Motorhome Prophecies. People, go pick it up, learn a little something about life, especially if you're struggling right now. It sounds like the perfect kind of a book. Carrie, thank you so much. I appreciate you very, very much. All right. Now, you know what time it is. You know what time it is. It's time for Lighten the Mood. Next.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On a summer night in Paris, American artist Lee Krasner is drifting off to sleep when the phone rings. On the line, news that her husband, Jackson, is dead. Jackson, as in the painter Jackson Pollock. He might, to this day, be the most mythologized figure in American art. But how much of the story that we've been told about him is just that? A myth. On Death of an Artist, Season 2, Krasner and Pollock, the story about how the art world changed forever. And the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting. Just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jessi Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. I've been a journalist for 2 decades, writing cover stories for Business Week, Fortune, and Wired. And now, every Monday, I bring you conversations with people who are thinking deeply about work and where it fits into our lives. Like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on growth mindsets.
The learn-it-all does better than the know-it-all.
Or MacArthur Genius winner Angela Duckworth on talent versus grit.
Your long-term effort and your long-term commitment are surprisingly important.
Each episode delivers pragmatic advice for right now. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood, as we always do. But sadly tonight, as you can see right there on the screen, we have to darken the mood. Why? Well, look, it's hard. I'm going to try not to get choked up. Red Lobster, you know, the premier seafood restaurant in the United States of America. But from my earliest childhood memories, that was all I wanted to do was eat at Red Lobster. They're filing for bankruptcy. Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So it hurts to see this happen to an American institution like this. I don't know how I personally will go on, but I will try. All right? All right. I'll see you.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. Start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.